Welcome in, everybody.
Wow, that was loud.
No, that was good.
Sorry about that. You got that? You got us now?
Good to go.
It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. It is Wednesday. I believe it's Wednesday, man.
It's Wednesday.
Still a mess from just that whole weekend up in Iowa Speedway. A lot of fun that was. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
Yes, it is.
We're coming to you live on 101.3, 1700, the Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 the champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Randy Wayhofer. Yes, that Randy Wayhofer.
Oh, it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It's early. Randy's like, hey, can I come? Randy, you can come in whenever you like. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. We are ready to go. That is Randy Wayhofer. He is the Assistant General Manager, VP of the Iowa Cubs. A lot to talk about. A lot to talk about in baseball and in sports in general as well. It is Wednesday, so we have Wednesday for the Twins is an off day, then a travel day, and then they are down in Kansas City. So the next time you're going to hear them is on Saturday, Sunday. They're playing the Royals, and we're still working. We just had a meeting, but it went way too quick. We're still talking about getting that football page out of all the football games we're going to have on. It's a lot. It's like three pages.
Well, it's
so it's going to be fun. We got a lot of stuff happening.
Do need to elaborate on what we have to offer.
Yes, and we just had a meeting to talk about you and I athletics, which was fun and something that you and I want to do a lot more of. So
you and I,
do you like that?
Yeah.
I meant to do that, right? As always, we want to thank our sponsors, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, Homeless Veterans, a golf outing with Central Iowa Shelter and Services at Legacy Golf Club. And on Wednesdays, we always sit in and we rep a little iCubs. So an off week. Are you back going again? Not till next game at home is
Tuesday.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then so we're back to the same. Okay, it's been a while. It seems like it's been a while, but maybe it has not. All right, did I miss anything?
No. iCubs are in Memphis this week, and then it's the Toledo Mudhens.
Correct.
All right, I'm back on Tuesday.
You know, let's talk a little bit about those iCubs. You have those runs. You guys are playing really well. People are excited. I mean, I have people talking about it at work, like it's a kudos for you guys because it's always dual. It's, oh my gosh, they're playing really well. Second one is, it's so exciting to see some of these young players playing and then they go up and they come back and people say, you know, I guess they really want to be up, but it seems to be helping them when they're maneuvering. And the third one is always promotions. And, you know, it's such a big deal. And you guys you just rock it every year, but you've really been doing it this year. Probably not missing the fact that, you know, with the heat and everything, having a couple of days. So it's not the end of the world.
Well, timing's good for being gone this week. Because last week was really nice. I think there were some people already worried at the end of last week how hot it was going to be this week, that there was a lot of feelings going on around the general public. But, it's normal summertime here in a lot of ways. We've been lucky so far, but the seven-day forecast looks pretty good to get back into the mid-80s next week when the team's back in town, and it won't be quite this excruciating. So that's a good thing for everybody.
I had this one at least three times today. When you were going through scheduling, which I think you schedule way ahead and you can tell the audience that, you had no qualm or no anything of that Ragby would be coming through Des Moines. That wasn't in your scheduling process, was it?
Well, we don't get to schedule. Major League Baseball tells us when we're home and when we're not. And, we could not plan for that.
So if you would have been home, then you would have just worked your way around everything that's going on.
Well, that was going to be my question, as you kind of got to it, but with an extra 60,000 people in downtown Des Moines, were you approached by Ragbrite? Hey, do you want to do anything? Let people on the field take pictures? Is the Is the store open so people can swing by and get iCub stuff?
Yeah,
I mean,
store's open 9 to 5 every day, just like the office is, even when the team's out of town. We were not approached to be a formal part of what's going on, and Chris, our groundskeeper, has plenty of work to do. We actually were hosting new citizens at the ballpark once a month, in addition to the big deal we do on the 4th of July. Ever since COVID, they liked the idea of being outside, and they were there today swearing in new citizens on the mezzanine.
I love it.
Throughout the day today. So, we're business as usual. If we would have been home this week, we would have tried to figure out how to make it an opportunity. Since we're not, then we don't have to interfere with all the things that are going on, knowing that it's really hard to get any common mindset. You know, I don't know a lot about Ragbri. I didn't grow up in Iowa. All of my time spent living in Iowa has been working in minor league baseball, so my summer times have been otherwise occupied. For 20 of those years, I was traveling with the team in addition to working home games, so I obviously know what it is, but I've never been part of it. I've never had the opportunity to. This is the closest I've ever been to it, and I understand there's a route. So there's people riding everywhere.
You can't stop them.
So it doesn't seem like there's a way to get any groupthink out of the people that are participating. They've all had their own reasons and their own routes. So that's cool.
So I'm just, you wanted to come in at 4 today. So I'm just making sure for the audience, are you, because you're going to dash down there so you can see Lynyrd Skynyrd tonight? Or do you have something else planned?
Quite honestly, at this point, games 90 through 110 is the hardest time of the season every year for me in minor league baseball. You've been at it a really long time, but you are not close enough to start counting days until the end. So, quite frankly, I'm a little gassed, and I'm looking forward to going to bed early, and taking a little bit of a break. And on Saturday morning, we hosted one of the two clinics that we partner with, the Premier Chevy Group, with. I think I threw 1,200 pitches to 9 to 14-year-olds as part of that. So my body is not liking me here these last couple of days. Some of the soreness is fine. My arm feels great because I wasn't trying to throw hard, but my legs got really heavy by the end of that. So I was just looking for a way to take my midweek break a little early, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Well, it was interesting because I'm glad you defined what went on today, because I drove by early this morning, or I should say mid-morning or whatever, and I saw it and it said ceremony like 2:30 or 3 o'clock. I'm thinking, who would have a wedding on a Wednesday at 3 o'clock? I'm thinking, my, it is an iCubs wedding. Anything goes, I guess, so it's a day game. But anyway, that explains that.
You know, I get you, because I was in Newton at Iowa Speedway Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I needed this whole week just off because I'm walking into work and I'm just like, man, it was just a long weekend.
Well, I was in Waverly all weekend with guys I graduated with. We were celebrating 35 years, and I felt physically pretty good about myself after leaving. So
there you go.
It's
Compared to everybody that you were there
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Two out of four of us still have hair. And other, I mean, not that that's a bad thing, Stan. You look great. You look great.
I'm also older than you. You got a few years. You never know.
All good. All good. So what do you got? Anything special for next week? Or is it the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what we usually have? Anything other than
that? The standard stuff is always there. But Tuesdays are our final of three dog day events. So you can bring your dog to the game on Tuesday with the ARL and Paws and Pints and Tito's and Premier Credit Union. They all sponsor the dog days. And that's always a big day, and dollar hot dogs. So it's the dog days of summer, literally, on Tuesday. Day game on Wednesday. And you know, there's still great opportunities to take advantage of the Betfred Lounge or a suite or some group activity. And then when we get into the weekend, it's Cubby's birthday on Friday, so we'll have lots of different mascot friends from around the area, from sponsors and some of the colleges and schools and universities and people there. So that'll be a lot of fun for the kids to do. And then we've got our third Marvel night on Saturday. Spider-Man's going to be at the ballpark, and we'll wear the new Marvel uniforms again. that we unveiled a month ago when we had Hulk and Ant-Man at the ballpark. So it's a really good week. And then Sunday, all of our usual stuff with bring the donations for the DMARC food pantry to get the free GA, kids run the bases. If anybody's not sick of riding their bicycle this week, we offer the bike special at the Bike World Bike Gate. Post-Ragbri, the bike traffic slows down a little bit, at least for a week or so. But we've got lots of great stuff. And we've also got our a reminder for those whose kids have earned tickets in the Home Run Reader program. We participate with libraries all across the metro area and outside, probably everywhere within 50 miles of home plate of Principal Park. And we offer tickets for kids to earn as the various summer reading programs put on. And those games are this week, Thursday and Sunday, for inside Polk County and outside Polk County to use those tickets. So if you got those earlier and they're hanging on the fridge, make sure you remember that those are good this week.
And just in case I asked, or you said this already, and I'm going to be wrong anyway. So Toledo, are they a Cleveland or
Detroit? No, Detroit. So they are the Tigers affiliate.
And then Louisville is
the Reds.
The Reds. Okay. Gotcha. So that's who comes in then on the 15th. So 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah. Starting Tuesday, we only have four home series left. We've got Toledo and Louisville this month, and then Omaha and St. Paul, and back-to-back weeks in September after Labor Day. And as of right now, St. Paul's one of the teams that we're battling back and forth with at the top of the division. So that's our last home series if it stays that way. If the playoffs started today, we'd be the team in for the second half. So the team's playing really well, as you mentioned. And they've been fun. They won last night in Memphis, and we've won four in a row, and see if we can keep it rolling.
And it's been all over the board. You've had great pitching. You've had great hitting when you didn't have good pitching. When you didn't have great hitting, you've had that. And you've had some blowout games, too, when you've combined the both. So getting a little bit of everything in this, the way that you've been playing here lately.
And by the time we get to the next Iowa Cubs home game at Principal Park, the trade deadline will have passed. So
right.
There's always the opportunity for lots of things to happen. And the Chicago Cubs are playing well and are within two games of 500 right now. And the players, to their credit, are not making it easy on Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins to decide what they want to do here the next few days. So I hope they keep that up, and we'll see how that all shakes out. If they decide to kind of ride with it, I think it's feasible for both clubs to have a nice stretch run here.
Well, it's really interesting because one of the biggest names going through trade deadline right now is Cody Bellinger. I mean, he's playing well, and it affects the iCubs as well, because if you're trading Cody Bellinger, you're trading him for prospects, hopefully good prospects that are going to come and help. But I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, I'm trying to think, how old is Cody Bellinger?
25, 26.
Yeah, I mean, man, and he looks comfortable in the Cubs uniform.
Well, but okay, what, they're 7-3 out of the last 10 games.
Yes.
Okay. They're 5 games out.
And he's a huge part of that.
But also look at the belly of the schedule we're going through right now. These are the games they have to win.
Right.
They're supposed to win. They have to win. So can they roll this, get closer, maintain? Because like what Randy said last time when you were here, I mean, it's why fleece it? Why get rid of everything? Why not just move forward with what we have and try to build on it?
Well, I had one, and I don't know if I can find it quick enough, but right after they had done well and they were going into the All-Star, or right before the trade deadline, and they had a losing record, and they got rid of Rizzo and all those guys. And in this article, they said, and another team had the same exact record, but they didn't trade anybody, and they won the World Series. It never mentioned who that team was, but it was a team that took a different direction. Yeah, okay, we're not playing the way we were supposed to be, but we're keeping people, and we're going to go. So, I mean, it's I get it. It's a difficult situation.
So I think the situation that you're looking at here for me is – the Cubs made those trades because there was a sense in the organization that those guys that had come up and won the World Series had lost a little bit of their hunger to try to make that go, and they needed a fresh start. So it wasn't just about needing to move on. There was a sense there at the end of the Joe Maddon era that there was some unrest there as to what, we made it, and now what do we do next? And there wasn't agreement there wasn't a consensus of what comes next as part of that. You know, and so that other team is probably in a different, you know, if it was the Phillies or whatever, you know, they had a younger team that was underperforming, you know, and you can gun together. So if the Cubs trade Cody Bellinger, that's a different discussion for me than trading Marcus Stroman, because the Cubs actually have some guys playing in the outfield here at Principal Park that you might say could plug in and be ready to help that team a year from now and gain that experience of being in a pennant race, even if you come up a little bit short. I don't believe we have anybody currently in the organization that is ready to be a top-of-the-rotation starter and a Major League All-Star the way Stroman was.
And you were adamant about that
this
the last time you were on.
And so that's a different discussion for me. I don't know how you get better by getting rid of your best pitcher when there's nowhere to backfill. I think you... the sum total of what Bellinger has done this year between his injuries and his slumps and his hot streaks, you can probably replace that production. And he's in a prove it year after winning rookie of the year. And all, you know, he was the guy with the Dodgers there for a little bit. And he's trying to reestablish himself as that player. So I could buy the, he's not our long-term guy and we'll take the benefit of, you know, being able to give him a chance to prove it and earn his money and let him take it from somewhere else. But I think you have to have all of that context. You can't just say, we're not going to win, so let's trade all of our valuable players for prospects. You can't get better doing that annually.
And that's why we love having Randy on here. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, at Randy Wayhofer, and at, what did I miss? At 1700 Champ. I think I hit them all.
Can't forget.
Facebook at 1700 the Champ as well. No Minnesota Twins baseball until Saturday. And you got the first read.
Northwest Bank, commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for easy doing banking. Wherever your phone is in your hand, go to Northwest Bank, go to nw.bank website. To take advantage of applying online to various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgages, it all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog. There you go.
Woo!
For their business insider, simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitments you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Once again, I want to thank Randy Wayhofer, the assistant GM and VP of the Iowa Cubs, in here. We've talked a little baseball. I just want to take, since Randy came in the first hour, I just want to take 10 minutes because this is, it's going to start hitting. We had one happen. We had another one happen today. So, and you have a daughter that's in sports. You've had a son that's in sports. I've had a son that's in sports. And I'm talking about going to school, trusting the coaching and everything, and then having something happen like happened at Northwestern. Today, P.J. Fleck, Minnesota, same kind of thing is going to start coming out. P.J. Fleck is a different kind of coach, very strict, very to the point, and does some things. Like probably 55% of coaches out there. I don't know. I wanted your guys' opinion because I trust your opinion. You know, I always said that when I dropped my son off, I said, I trust you to do the same things that we were doing. I'm not asking you to be his father, but I'm trusting you that you know he's home, you know he's on the road with you, you know what he's doing, you know, and all those things. Wasn't even thinking about the other. Right. As a parent, and you're getting ready to go through, you know, you're sending your kids to college or you're doing any of that. You know, it's a scary thought. And Randy, I guess I just wanted to ask you, I mean, what is your thought process when you hear stuff like that?
I kind of understand why there are people who think that that there is an element of that that is good for team building, but you cannot count on the maturity factor of the people involved to do it from a place that starts with caring, and that what should be a little bit of teasing or a little bit of camaraderie is the intent doesn't get out of hand. In the world we live in, everybody takes everything personally.
Yeah.
I witness it daily in dealing with the general public. And there is no amount of any of that. There's room for that in dealing with kids any longer. I mean, there was freshman hazing and marching band when I was in high school, and it was, you had to stand up and sing in front of somebody, but there was always someone who was just waiting to become a senior because they got it bad when they were a freshman and they were ready to give it back. It was never done out of a place from caring, and there's just no place for any of that. And you can stick your head in the sand and say that, that we do it from a place of caring, but if you think that, you're just not paying attention, because there is no group collectively that has the maturity and the understanding of where that line is and where that line isn't, because it's different for every single person. And if it's a team setting, every person, there was a great quote from one of the seniors on the softball team that as part of senior day, she said, "You always matter, but you're not always the point."
I like it.
Terrific. It's brilliant.
Yep.
But that's the point, right? They all matter in that setting. It may not be about you in that moment, but everybody matters every time you're in that setting. And when you get into these kinds of rituals and these kinds of things, you're telling people they don't matter, or at least that's what they're feeling and what they're hearing. And if that's what they're feeling and hearing, then that's their reality, and then you've essentially ruined whatever you're trying to build and accomplish from that.
Before I go to you, just one quick one from me was, individuality wasn't a big deal when I was growing up. None of my coaches in baseball, football, basketball, track, it wasn't about individuality. You didn't get to have, hey coach, I want to wear black shoes. There was no individuality. We've changed that. It's grown into individuality to a certain extent, and as well it should. I mean, I don't have a problem with, hey, just because 9 people on the team like this and I don't, doesn't mean that we have to change it. It just means that, I might not want to do that. And that's difficult, because that one person gets kind of ganged up on a little bit. And I think sometimes that's what happens. The thing with PJ Fleck that I think people, they don't want to get yelled at and screamed at and grabbed by the face mask and drug around. And they're like, you can't do that anymore. And all these coaches, I think, go, yeah, we can, because it's part of what makes you a better person. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's not coaching with, oh, I read this in a book, this sounds really cool. It's probably the way he was brought up through the system.
Absolutely.
As well, right?
Yes.
And it goes back to, and I hate to use this edge, I'm making boys into men,
yep.
that type of thing. And it's, but then again, we also used to have 3-day football practices where you didn't get water.
Right.
There's,
you got salt pills. You, of all salt,
exactly. I mean, it's things have evolved in certain ways. Some of this, I'm not putting this, the Minnesota PJ Fleck train car connected same train as what's going went on Northwestern.
No, totally different.
You look at the people coming forward. There was a transition. It was the first years of PJ Fleck. He had a different. He's a different cat.
He is a different cat.
But
he wears a tie on the football
field. Right. You get on board with what I'm going to do. We're going to win. Okay. Cool. I'll go down. You be the tip of the spear. I'm right behind you. So from what I'm hearing, it was, man, this guy was crazy. Well, it was people from the former regime that was, hey, we're going to change up everything. Business. You have a boss that runs a mediocre plateaued company, and people ownership say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shake things up. You know, a lot of people that have been very comfortable for 10, 20 years are going to say, that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
It's I can't, this environment is, I mean, they want me to meet a quota? What? I mean, it's, I don't know that it's necessarily that
right.
He was off his rocker and it was, oh my gosh, I can't stand to be here. It was different.
But I think what
and change is hard.
I think what they're going to have to start figuring out is, because if you think, I think more of what's going up in Minnesota, that happens everywhere, because you just have coaches that, that are like that.
Right.
And if you don't like it, see, that's my part where I start fighting for NIL and letting kids go.
Right.
Hey, this is what, wasn't what I thought it was. I got to get out of here, or, you know, it's not going to work out. I think if the three of us sat here in this room and said what happened at Northwestern doesn't happen at 52 other places, I think we're wrong.
Right.
I think it probably does. And it takes a different kind of person to come out and be the first one to say something. And instead of rewarding those people for doing that, we chastise those people. Some of the Northwestern kids have been getting some pretty big pushback. And I understand that too. You're taking away something great, even though they won one football game last year.
Right.
So, you know, I listened to Mike Greenberg, who's a really good friend with Coach Fitzgerald. And he's like, I've known him since he was a kid. I love the guy. Here's the thing we have to understand. People that we love and show all these things can do bad things or just not think something's bad and just blow it off. It doesn't mean that his whole life should be ruined. It does mean that he shouldn't coach football anymore.
Right.
Because you're responsible for those kids. And, Randy, you have a baseball team. You as an administrator and all you guys have those kids, you're supposed to take care of them. And you need to be able to take care of them. Is that not true?
It's a little bit different in minor league baseball just because they're not our – I mean, I don't have the ability to influence culture in the clubhouse. I mean, that's the staff is employed by the Chicago Cubs, and they're the ones that are enacting that. But it is our responsibility to provide them with a setting that allows them to focus on getting their work done, and that's what the facility standards are about and the construction we have going on and why – you know, the promotions you plan have to complement the baseball game and not supersede what's happening out on the field. At least that's the approach that we've always taken, and that's not always the way it gets done in minor league baseball and around either. But, I think it is more rare than I think it is to have people who are a prove-you-wrong kind of personality. I think we have created a society that is improved over where we were in terms of just some backwards thinking and things that we all dealt with. And in our attempt to make it better, we have also stripped, I think, and what I see around my daughters is some of the coping skills that we have done such a good job of what is unacceptable behavior. We have not come alongside with the story of, but it is still going to happen even though it's unacceptable, and then how do we deal with it?
Right. I agree with that too.
And you know, if you're going to go play for Bobby Knight, or you're going to go play for Fran McCaffrey, or if you're going to go play for somebody that's a yeller and a screamer, most of these guys are not a secret, or gals. There's women.
There's yelling and screaming. Yeah.
Pat Summitt did her fair share of yelling and screaming. Dawn Staley does her fair share. Kim Mulkey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is not a, you know, this is a thing. But if you're not in the room, it's easy for all of us to say, I could never succeed there. And that's your prerogative, that if you have the opportunity to choose to be in that field, to not go there, because that's not what would get the best out of you. But there are some people that think that does bring the best out of them. There is such a thing as showing that kind of personality that comes from a place of caring. And that's not the part you see on timeouts on television, and that's not the part that you see on SportsCenter. But I have to believe that these coaches who have been super successful when the cameras are off and you're in the office, there's some sort of conversation that says, I talk to you that way because you're better than what you're showing me.
Right.
And I'm sorry if I lost my temper a little bit, but how do we best find that in you? And if it doesn't come from that place, or there is never that part of the conversation, it will never be effective, and it still might never be effective in that approach with all people. But there are some people who need, what was Bill Parcells' quote, it's all about your backside. You're either kissing it or kicking it. And there are some people who know they need to be kicked in order to succeed, and there are a lot more people in the world who need their backside kissed a little bit more in order to feel good and play good and do all of those kinds of things. And so if you can't have both sides of that conversation, you can't be a high-level elite coach. And if you can't start it from a place of caring, and if the kid's not mature enough to understand the difference, they don't belong in that program. But at least these people are authentic. You know, say what you will about any of the people that we mentioned. There was no secret.
No.
You know, and if that doesn't suit you, there are lots of other choices. And if it doesn't suit anyone, they would not have had a profession and a job. And it's not the words you say. It's not the volume that you say it at. It's the context and the level of caring that comes through it. Conan O'Brien used to do a great bit when he goes, if you're a young parent and you're up late, I'm going to sing your baby to sleep. And they played the lullaby music, and it was just the most crass, silly, you know, inappropriate joke, late night humor, but it was done in this soft, soothing voice, you know, that the baby wasn't old enough to comprehend, and that, you know, that was why it was supposed to be funny. You don't sing a lullaby about a murder movie, you know, but that was kind of the gist of it. It's not what you say. You know, words by themselves don't hurt anybody, but you can certainly have some intent. You know, and you can tell when people are lying to you while they're smiling, and when they care for you when they're yelling. There is ways to go both ways there, but it's nuanced and it's hard. And when you're just on the internet from 1,000 miles away, you know, your opinion is yours, but I don't know how much it affects the situation.
Right, and that's the problem, because I want these kids to have accountability to themselves too, and a lot of them aren't.
And see, and that's something that whether we dealt with it when we were younger, if you will, but right now it's you have such a hard time once you figure out that somebody is running at a C+ level and is content with it, and you start pushing, you're the bad guy for now. You're just being mean. No, I'm not. I see better in you. Right. Let's find better and be there.
I got to be able to get a B+,
right,
and I'd be happier.
A's all day long.
There you go. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Randy, Scott, and I will be back. It'll be a better topic, I promise you. Welcome back in. Last segment of this first hour. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Randy Wayhofer. Randy Wayhofer, generous enough to come in today. Came in a little early. He's got some stuff he needs to do, so we appreciate him coming
sounds
in.
Sounds like go to bed is what it sounds like.
Tired. We got some Minnesota Twins baseball coming up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're playing the Royals. And this segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Go to woodmancontrols.com and look at all of these things for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Okay, Randy. In your assistant GM and VP of the Iowa Cubs, the Chicago Cubs are 49-51. So we are they're right on 100 games. So 62 games left. Question, someone sent me, it was the last time you were here, coaching at the major league level. Coach, is his first name David? I can never remember. Is it Coach Ross? But David Ross, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Overall feelings, just somebody asked me, you know, what's it like? Because their thought process is, well, he's the major leagues and the minor leagues. You got to have some kind of drop down to doing the same things of major league and minor leagues in your coaching philosophies, or does that not happen in baseball as much as it does in other areas?
I don't think the Cubs stress that because we've had the same manager for 10 years, and so you wouldn't seem to follow that you'd have the same guy
right.
working at AAA when Joe Maddon was the message giver in Chicago and when David Ross is the, I think that there's the opportunity that to be your own authentic voice as long as you're figuring out a way to deliver the right message. Not everybody has to hear it the same way. I think that's why guys get fresh starts and do better other places. Sometimes it's just the environment you're in and the amount that you're able to be comfortable in your own self. And Maddon was always really good with guys on the way up and seemed to struggle with guys who had established themselves and keeping them motivated. I'm not sure where Ross is. All I think I know about David Ross is that he is not the guy that fans think he is from Saturday Night Live and Grandpa Rossi and the magnanimous veteran on the bench and the World Series team and all the ESPN analyst and that guy. I don't think behind closed doors he's that guy. I think he's a little bit more of a crusty old former catcher that doesn't tolerate a lot of nonsense and he's just not the touchy-feely kind of guy.
That was kind of my thought process.
That I think fans assume that he is from these Dancing with the Stars things that he did post the World Series. And can he manage a bullpen? Not convinced. I haven't really seen him do it successfully yet. To be honest, I don't know how much of it is his decision in this day and age of baseball. The front office decides a lot more of that than the manager does than ever before. So I think it's most important for the manager to work with up than it is down at the major league level. And the general manager front office level has their side of that operation working with the minor league personnel. It's not from David Ross to Marty Peavy.
That is an amazing thing because I think that same way. When did it happen? Who was the powerful general manager that made that happen? Because it had to be somebody, because it wasn't the way it was working. I mean, the managers had a lot of – I mean, I remember watching Whitey Herzog and all the – I mean, if they didn't like something, I mean, they could get rid of a guy or whatever. But it seems – I always wanted to blame Brian Cashman or somebody, but I don't even think it's that. I think it was George Steinbrenner. So I get the owner part. But the general manager is a lot more powerful than what it used to be.
Yeah, the general manager used to be talent acquisition, and then the manager was get the most out of them on the field. And somewhere in the midst of Billy Beane and Theo Epstein. And,
so it's analytical,
and
too.
So
you guys are describing Moneyball, the movie right now, where it was the conflict between the general manager and the...
So when I was in Burlington, the Royals were our affiliate, we had Dayton Moore, when he first became the general manager, come to speak at a winter banquet event. And Dayton said that he viewed the number one job of a major league general manager is to be a salesperson to the owner and convince the owner that the plan that they had laid out had the ability to work if they were given the tools and the investments and things that they needed and the infrastructure, whether that was people, equipment, all of those kinds of things. And when the idea of I'm going to get an Ivy League groomed person to manage my systems, and then I got away from the former player in that general manager role, it changed the whole dynamic of it. And you see it in football a little bit too, whether, I've mentioned Parcells twice now. If you want me to cook the dinner, let me buy the groceries. You know, that they want to manage every part of it. I don't want half credit. I want full credit or full blame is basically the way those jobs work. And I think it came along with where the money to be the general, there was never any money in being the general manager. Some guys said, fire me. I'll go get a better paying job. I'm kind of stuck in this baseball life. Everybody's protecting their own interests now. I got a text last night from a friend saying, Kyle Hendricks has a 3.86 ERA, hasn't thrown a single pitch over 90 miles an hour. He wouldn't even get offered a D1 scholarship right now, but yet he's a good pitcher at the major league level. And that's because there's no independent thinking, that you've got to be able to prove it somewhere. But where is the opportunity to be that guy and prove it because I don't want to lose my job if I'm wrong on that kind of guy. And that's always been kind of the rub for me the last 10 years or so. It's, you know, if a scout recommends a guy and he doesn't pan out, the player used to be a little bit culpable in that. Anymore, it's if you recommend a guy and he doesn't pan out and he doesn't have measurables, you lose your job as the scout. And so they don't recommend guys who are fringe talent guys anymore, who are really good skill guys, you know, but yet they can recommend all the guys with high spin rate that they want that have 6.8 ERAs and just throw it down, you know. They spin it, but it gets hit hard, and it spins over the wall really quick.
Really, it's a great pitch to sail, yeah.
See, and I think what Randy just said coincides with what you and I have been talking about, and that is how can running backs in the NFL not be getting paid money when their usage rate is not going down? It's actually going up, but it's because of different GMs now that have more power that are thinking analytically, okay, in my big pie that I have here, analytically, I don't want to spend very much on that because I see the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they can put any running back there.
Right, exactly. That's the big thing. They don't want it to be a marquee position anymore.
Right.
They want it to be a plug-and-play position, and we're going to do quarterbacks, and we're going to do tight ends. And
what did we say? Well, the reason that Kansas City can throw just about anybody back there is because they have one of the best offensive lines in football.
Right.
And these other teams who don't have offensive lines, like the New York Giants, who Saquon Barkley still ran for 1,500 yards, he gets 1,500 yards, but he doesn't get credit for it because they're like, well, look what Kansas City can do, paying three people that. It's just, that's, nobody's thinking clearly.
Well, I think it's fine to think that way. What I don't understand is why all 30 teams have to think that way.
Exactly.
I don't understand where, if, you know, we do this in radio and TV, that if Monday Night Football has the audience on Monday, then don't put Pee Wee Football on Monday against it. You counter program. So who are the people that are not watching football? You know, so only one team can win the Super Bowl. So this team has Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of running backs we've never heard of. I don't have Patrick Mahomes. What if I invested in the running back because no one else is doing it that way in Major League Baseball? What if I invest in guys who throw strikes but don't throw hard? Can I win? But they're not willing to lose their own job by recommending that, because if they recommend it and it doesn't work, they're out.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that confounds me about modern sports is 29 out of 30 teams are not going to win the championship anyway. So why is everybody trying to do it exactly the same way? Is there anybody out there who has the guts and the gumption to say there's more than one right way to win games in any given sport? This is what's working now. If we build it this way, and that's what Moneyball was. It was about underutilized and undervalued assets. It wasn't about this is the only way to do it. It's we can get guys who do this really well cheap because nobody else is paying attention. And we've gotten so far away from that that everything is an economics class, and we've got to hit that one optimization point on the graph. And it's really hard to thread that needle.
And if you'd have watched Patrick Mahomes play, because I've seen him twice play Iowa State when he was at Texas Tech.
Right.
I mean, you could see that he had talent. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the Big 12, and there wasn't a lot of good quarterbacks back then.
He was talented, but it wasn't refined yet. It wasn't.
Yes.
It's like he needed, I don't know, Andy Reid.
And he had Andy Reid, and he had Alex Smith helping him.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
that's
fell
what,
in the draft to a better team with
to
more
a better
around.
Team, which is not being the number one pick. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you for coming in today. We appreciate you,
Thank you, as always.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I'll be back right after this break. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We're bringing sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp, at Steen on Sports, at happyhour_SS, and at ScottBrower_13. Or I said you twice. I like you so much
that's,
today,
hey,
I said you twice.
I appreciate that.
Facebook's at 1700thechamp. Minnesota Twins baseball comes back in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And once again, we want to thank Randy Wehofer for coming on. It's always, you know, we could have him on every day. Just sitting. I mean, there's so many things I want to pick his brain on because
actually, Well, we talked about off the air. I'm thinking, oh, that is a podcast right there. So
it definitely is. And that is, you know, he thinks differently. I mean, that's the extreme plus of having you in here with me. You think way differently than I do.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. And because I have all these things floating around in my head going, man, I don't think that's right. And then
I'm not going to lie. A handful of change could throw you off for a good hour. You're like, hey, what is that? Is that a quarter? You jump around
a
little
penny,
bit. Yeah.
Penny on
you
the
jump
floor.
Around, but you are passionate.
But yeah. So I can be that. So, okay. You got the read.
I got the read. So I'm going to do that now. And then we're going to do the radio show thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do the read. Heritage
okay.
Building Maintenance.
You got it.
Provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier, more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology to provide peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners in science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritageBLDG.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
Boom. Good job out of
you. Steen, it's hot outside, and there's a lot of people on bikes.
There is.
It's
pretty exciting.
I haven't seen anything. I know there was I did see a little bit that there was a ton of preparations and cooling cloths and misting stations and I mean, everywhere and first aid and all these different things. I hope everybody was very smart today. I haven't heard anything to the different as of yet, but that was, thank goodness it was the short ride, the 54 miles from Ames to Des Moines, because tomorrow is the opportunity to do the century ride on the way to Tamo.
Hottest day.
And it's going to be hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
A shout out to Broadlawn's marketing team. Just got a picture sent to us there. It's kind of cool.
They are down handing out water at Waterworks Park.
There you go.
But that's Melissa Murfield and then a couple other people we may or may not know.
Yeah. So congrats to them getting out there. Okay. So I tried to think of what do I want to talk about the most today? And I usually would save this for potpourri, but I can't.
What were you
talking about? Are there damn UFOs out there? Some guy went in front of Congress today and said, he's a whistleblower, the United States government, not only do we have UFOs stored in buildings, we have alien bodies stored in buildings. And he said it in Congress today.
Well, yeah.
We have UFOs.
Sure. We've had them for a long time.
I think so, too.
I mean, have you seen?
It's not any fun if you're not going, oh, my God, Steen, you're nuts.
No.
Yeah, so we're both nuts.
What do you think Patrick Mahomes is normal? I mean, come on, there's got to be something out of this world about it.
If you want to call 515-264-1700 and call us nuts, we'll answer the phone.
That has been going on for quite some time.
Somebody finally just said, listen, these people are seeing it's not a problem.
I swear we were this close during the Trump administration for him to go, we have them, they're huge, they're in a building, we're going to show them to you. But somebody said, you can't do that.
You can't do it. It's like, okay, you know what? You can't hide it anymore. So someone might as well just say, yeah, they're not bothering us. We're not bothering them.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Independence Day, the movie.
Yeah.
Was actually a documentary. I'm just telling you.
I'm with you. I'm thinking that is yes.
So you looked at me like I was a horrible person when I told you that I work with my brother-in-law, and it wasn't until I got to the show that I realized I forgot to.
It's his birthday and his anniversary.
Yes, so I've made amends.
Sister.
Happy birthday, and I've said happy anniversary to my brother-in-law and my sister, and then I got to realize that actually, I did say happy birthday to Chris Kenner, who owns the restaurant bar that I go to before my brother-in-law.
There you go. You're batting.
Happy birthday to Chris Kenner with Grand Junction as well.
You are.
Hope everybody's having
a
wonderful day.
1,000. Okay, so just another one there. And maybe someone had whispered into Mitch McConnell's ear. No, I'm not making fun. Mitch McConnell went up to talk at a news conference today.
Oh, I saw that.
Got up.
That's
and nothing.
Well, no,
he was staring out. He couldn't talk. He couldn't move.
He started his statement and then, stopped, and it's look in his eyes.
Right. And we are not making. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was. It's just been a really weird day.
Yes. Hopefully they got him medical attention immediately.
Immediately. And here's the third, you know. Mbappe is turning down $776 million to play for Saudi Arabia because people think that he's already signed with Real Madrid.
I can see that.
That's a lot of money, though. I don't know if Real Madrid offered
really
him
when you get to that level. What's it going to change?
What a billion? Right?
Oh, I'm going to get a different thread count for my pillowcase. What, I mean, seriously, is it really going to change when you go from north of 500 million? I mean,
okay, I lied. I got one more.
Okay,
because I'm sad.
You
because I actually liked this person, and she passed away today.
Sinead O'Connor. You're taking note because she's 56.
Yes,
and that we're losing people around
our age.
Well,
right.
Okay,
and my age, and
she was very controversial, though.
Yes, she was. And the really funny thing, she was really controversial 20 years ago. She wouldn't even fit in mainstream now.
Right.
When you're talking about out there.
What, she tore a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live when she? I mean, that was No,
I wasn't saying
that was lighthearted. When it happened in 91 or 90 or whatever, it was
mattered.
A huge deal.
Right, because, you know, number one, everybody watched Saturday Night Live, which nobody does that anymore. I was sad.
What was the song? What was her biggest hit in 1990?
It was a Prince song. Nothing Compares to You.
Right. Okay. I want to make sure. Say you're a fan, I want to hear what her big hit was.
I am going to tell you that I was a fan.
Okay.
I don't know.
You know, I was gone. We never got to end our discussion on high school boys baseball. You made a prediction to me.
Yes.
When we were at the Iowa Speedway.
Yeah.
What was the final outcome of the Johnston Ames game?
It was close. It was closer than what they thought. Ames gave him a heck of a run.
That's all I want to say. They gave him a heck of a run.
Yeah. It just and to listen and talk to Johnston's dad, he's like, I have no way to explain it. It was like as soon as Ames walked on the field, it's like our boys went, you know, because I think they played during the year. They weren't even close.
Right.
And they had no pitching left.
Right.
And they battled their butts off.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's, like I said, Ames was
on.
It
would have been really bad if I actually missed and said, because I did say that Johnston was going to win.
Yes. You said it was going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I did. Because I didn't think they had any pitching. Who knew that Johnston just wouldn't hit?
Right.
And what have we always said when you play good teams like that? I would have somebody that throws 42 miles an hour and throws the ball in there until it's not fun anymore because they're not used to that. I mean, do something that they're not used to.
There's something too. Hit the mascot. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, doing really well. No, they know where it's going.
Hit the mascot. I get that. The Carolina Panthers today, they took no time in saying that Bryce Young, number one draft pick, number one overall pick. It's our quarterback. He's
starting. With that program, though, what are you going to do? Throw him in the pool.
Yeah.
See if he's going to swim. You have to.
And I actually don't think that program is as far off as some others are. I think the Texans are further off only because they're really rebuilding. I don't think Carolina's problem in these last 5 years was they just didn't have a quarterback. Everyone that they tried to do didn't work.
Right.
And we've said that all along, right? You got a couple of things. You can say these all the time. If you have a great offense, it's not just because you had a great offense. The Kansas City Chiefs played well last year and won a Super Bowl because their defense played really well as well. Now, what Kansas City's offense is, that gives you a couple of points to play with when you're on defense. The teams that struggle in the NFL are teams that have really good defenses but struggle on offense because there's only so much that defense can do. I mean, you're not going to shut out all these teams in the NFL. I think the biggest NFL thing that somebody shot at me today was somebody came out with their, I think it was Peter Schrager. I don't want to blame him in case it wasn't him. But they had their top 100 players, and Justin Fields was like 85 and Trevor Lawrence was 95. There's no comparison between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields because they both have the same type of teams, and Trevor Lawrence got his team to the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, I like Justin Fields, and I think he has a place in the NFL. I think Trevor Lawrence by the end of this year, maybe that halfway through next year, is going to be one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he is a superstar. And on top of that, Justin Herbert just got paid. He got paid.
It was 262?
Yo, it was a lot. It was a ton. Oh, my goodness, was it a ton. And
no, it's not 260. That was...
No, I have it here. Hold on.
But what I was listening to today, if you go through the next years, because what is it? It's like $36 million, $38 million, $44 million, back to 30. These are what is coming up in Patrick Mahomes' contract. Do you, as Patrick Mahomes' agent, go, whoa, look at all that's going on? Or do you say, okay, ownership management, be smart, come back to me. What am I worth to you?
Right. I think, and they're going to do that. And I this is what I honestly think, and I guess I'll throw it out there even though people are going to call me crazy. I think he's going to let this season go through.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert's going to get his. Burrow's going to get his. They're going to blow what Patrick's making going. It's just going to blow him away. And Patrick's going to go back to the Kansas City Chiefs and go, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work out a deal with you. I'm going to make it not so horrible on the salary cap, but here's what I want. I don't care about the dollars. I want a percentage of the football team. And then you're going to have to change rules because that's going
to
become.
That's what they if John Elway would have said yes to the offer because ownership was in trouble,
That's what's going to happen because you're.
No, I get it, dude.
You're
I get
twisting.
It.
You're twisting. You said it exactly right. $700 million, $300 million. What's the difference? The only difference.
Oh, I'd like to find out.
Right. The only difference in those two is how much the government takes that you don't get.
Right.
I mean, Mbappe's thing went from $700 million by the time they took everything. Well, it's not so bad for him if he stays out of the United States. His taxes weren't so bad. But here was Justin Herbert's $133.7 million fully guaranteed, $193.7 million with an injury guaranteed, and springing potentially to $218.7 million guaranteed. I mean, you don't have to do anything else in the rest of your life. I mean, you're I don't even know if you were crazy that you could spend $218 million. I don't think that's possible.
You ever seen Brewster's Millions?
Yes, but he had to do that, though. Okay, so, and we talk about this. We talk about Justin Herbert all the time. His first three seasons. 14,000 yards passing, most all-time. 94 passing touchdowns, second most all-time. Patrick Mahomes is in the lead. 102 total touchdowns, most all-time. 22 games with 300-plus passing yards, most all-time. A defensive coordinator for a head coach that can't stop anybody is the only reason Justin Herbert isn't the best quarterback in the NFL. Because he has the stats to be there. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, or Josh Allen. He doesn't have their wins. He's under 500 as a quarterback.
See, that's I know that I agree with that. I mean, he has the stats, and he has this. To me, this is a potential. He got paid because of potential,
right.
Not performance.
But his
which
first
is
three
completely
years,
completely different than what we usually do in the NFL.
Right. His first 3 years gave them okay. If these are his first 3 years. And we're not sure what we have for a coach, and it's not like we've bent it over backwards and gave him, you know, outstanding players, and he's still playing at that level.
Which takes me back to Trevor Lawrence. He did not have a good coach and did not have a good scenario. I mean, they were – but he was able to
and said,
elevate the team to the level to make it to the playoffs last year.
He said that he was a bust. And it was Urban Meyer, and he couldn't do anything, and he gets Doug Peterson in there, and they make it to the playoffs, and had a good run in the playoffs.
Right.
They just didn't have the overall talent that
you can't make a supreme pizza if you only have dough and cheese. You got to have the ingredients.
So with all the stuff, I mean, they're getting ready. They're everybody's in training camp. Odds haven't changed that much. Kansas City's still plus 600. Philadelphia plus 700. Buffalo Bills are plus 800. I think that's a I think they're going to have a down year. I think they're going to be a – if they get to 10 wins, I think that's lucky. I think they're I think they beat the Jets twice. They split with Miami. You have Buffalo. Who's the other one in New England?
New England.
And I don't know how good New England's going to be, so that doesn't help. San Francisco's plus 900. Dallas is plus 1,600, and the Jets are plus 1,600. The New York Jets aren't winning the Super Bowl.
No.
Why do you think that? I don't trust their coach.
The package isn't. The package seems too perfect.
Right.
Where's the chink in the armor? We're going to find out pretty quick.
I think it's Robert Saleh. I think that's the chink.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit more.
That went really fast.
Yes, it did.
Another one. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott, be Wednesday.
Rag Bride Day.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter, at @ScottBrower_13, at @SteenOnSports, at @Happy_Hour_SS, and at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins baseball comes back on the airwaves Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're playing the Royals. Lost one the other night, but still a really good trip for them. And I guess I have the read, don't I?
You do.
It is for homeless veterans golf outing Monday, July 31st at the Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk, Iowa. Central Iowa Shelter and Services is hosting our fifth annual for homeless veterans golf outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in our emergency shelter. It's on Monday the 31st at Legacy, 18 holes. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow and rebuild. The funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day. For many of our veterans, these services are the first steps towards stability. You could be a whole sponsor, $250. You can be a team of four at $600. You can do both for $800. You can save $50 if you do. Hopefully you would donate to them as well. centraliowashelter.org/events/4.html will get you to see what everything that's out there. And once again, Monday, July 31st at Legacy Golf Club. Thank you very much. All right, where are you going?
Where am I going?
Yep.
Well, like I said right before we're going to go back to running backs again.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it just popped up again. The way that it is, again, clickbait. We always talk about clickbait. Dalvin Cook makes eye-opening statement on potentially joining the Bills. Okay. I'm like, oh, you know, are they in negotiations? No. He's still looking for a home.
Right.
But his little brother plays for the Bills. Hey, it'd be cool. Maybe you could come let me over here, whatever. And then, okay, the Dolphins offered him two-year, $8
million. Right. $4 million a year.
Right.
$7 million less than Saquon Barkley, even though Saquon Barkley's younger. Cook had a better
there's
year.
There's not a line of people looking for him.
No. Well, there's not a line of people looking for him yet. The problem is then they're not going to be looking for him until either, A, someone gets hurt, or they go, okay, we think we've made him wait long enough. Now he'll take
That's
this.
Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. It's for this article to pop up, it's like somebody said, all right, we need to get something out there to get his name clicked on again so we're still relevant.
Right. The thing I hate about it, though, is everybody, you know, they'll use Kansas City as an example.
You think there's collusion to bring down the price of running backs?
I think there's a collusion at any point in time that they can bring down the salaries of anybody if they can prove the point. And they use Kansas City as that point that they don't have to spend a lot on the running backs. Well, no, they don't. Because they spend a boatload on their offensive line, which every NFL football team should be doing, but they don't. Other teams skimp there. You know the biggest problem that the New York Jets are going to have this year? You got to protect, and you have to give Brees Hall holes, and they have two really, really, really good offensive linemen, and three really, really not good offensive
linemen. I was going to say, no, no. All you need to do is get Aaron on his back a couple times, and the entire house of cards will come to the ground.
Comes to the
ground. Once he's irritated, everybody's irritated.
Yep, and that's going to be an issue. I believe in my heart of hearts that the same teams that were fighting for in the championship game, so you had Kansas City playing Kansas City played Cincinnati.
Yep.
And Philadelphia played
49ers.
The 49ers.
That's and when Brock Purdy's arm didn't work anymore.
And I'm telling you, you're going to have to do an awful lot to convince me it's not going to be the same thing. Because I don't buy into Buffalo, and I don't know what to do with my Ravens. I got to see a couple of games. Now, give me a couple of games, and I'll be happy. And your issue, I think your Dolphins are really, really good.
If they keep him protected and he stays off his back, or in the offseason, someone taught him how to fall.
Yeah.
Because he would, first of all, your shoulders and your head should not hit the ground before your hips when you're going down. But every single time, it was first impact was his head.
Yep.
The team that gets me is, and I feel bad for my Cowboy friends. Because of the way the NFC is set up, I think they are going to look phenomenal. I think they're going to make a run, and then they're going to get into the playoffs and just absolutely implode again.
And I apologize, T, but it all starts with your owner, and it starts with your coach. And I don't trust either one of them. I can't. And then your third one is your quarterback. Do you really, really trust him? And you just paid Diggs, who I saw get burned for four or five touchdowns last year, paid him almost more than any other cover guy.
You heard what Steve Young said today, didn't you? How do you think you can compete in the league with somebody as innovative as
Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan, for what he's doing with offense when you're still running the same plays from 20 years ago.
Yeah. There is a deficiency of knowledge in football unlike any other sport. If, like Randy said, these people were winning, playing baseball, and so everybody did it.
Right.
They don't do that in the NFL. Right. And it depends. So I think the biggest part of it is who your owner is and what he wants to do. If the only thing your owner wants to do, and I think this is the Hunt family in Kansas City, we trust Andy Reid. I'll pay the players because I trust that.
Right.
Just keep us out of the headlines. Don't get in trouble. And let's go, you know. And so that's one way to look
at it. Say that twice to Andy Reid.
Yes, so. Dallas Cowboys. You know what? He's going to make money no matter what. Jerry Jones has the most profitable, one of the top five profitable sports conglomerates in the world. Does he want to win a Super Bowl? Absolutely. And to him, you know what makes him so mad? I have this talent, and I'm running this. And I can't do. And I had Barry Switzer here, and he won me a Super Bowl
with Jimmy Johnson's team.
With Jimmy Johnson's team, but it was Barry Switzer, and Jerry Jones is like, why didn't I just coach that team so I could have got the accolades? Because Barry Switzer didn't want the accolades. He's just like, hey, what'd you say? $6 million? Yeah, I'm in. What do I got to do? All the assistants can stay. Yeah,
okay.
All right. He walks into the room. You guys all did great. I'm gonna be hanging here. And we're going to make –
walk around, do finger guns at people. And how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Exactly.
And that guy up there is going to pay me $6 million.
Right. And Jimmy Johnson still is on the Ring of Honor because he bucked ownership.
Yep. And so, you know, you have those teams. Philadelphia has that team. You know what? I trust my guy. He told me Jalen Hurts would work. Not a lot of people thought Jalen Hurts would work, and he worked. And he said, I need money for my defense, and I got this side. And then he lost coordinators, which is going to hurt. I mean, that's going to hurt. I wanted to – here's my only click on the Chiefs.
Okay.
Is it really Andy Reid, or was it Eric Bieniemy?
Right.
And what's the percentage? Because all I ever saw Andy Reid do was look at his list and call plays. And I saw Eric Bieniemy sitting with Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines going over stuff and scribbling and doing all that. I want to know which one it really is.
Well.
And we're going to find out because he's in Washington.
Yes, he is.
And they're not going to be very good. So I don't.
I You know what? Yeah, they're not going to be good out of the chute, but I think there's going to start to be a the clouds are going to lift a little bit. Maybe the evil regime, if you will, and the flowers will start to bud again.
I totally agree with you there that was just karma. You know what? You got a bad guy as an owner, and now you don't. Now, you still have the same type of guy. A really rich guy who just wanted a football team because it's cool to have a football team.
Right.
But he did bring and I know there's some people out there that don't like Magic Johnson. Everything that Magic Johnson has ever touched makes money.
Well,
I mean, I can't think of anything that he, you know, and just I don't know why they don't like him. I mean, I think
right. Sometimes personalities at that level don't make friends with every single person around.
And that's the thing. You know, I always found, you know, Tiger Woods, whoever he was dating, he locked her out of the house. He wasn't nice. And people go, see, Tiger Woods just isn't a nice guy. I'm like, Tiger Woods don't care if you think he's a nice guy.
Right.
Everything Tiger Woods touches makes money.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree with that.
And I think that was the one thing that he was trying to teach Rory McIlroy. And I don't know if Rory's got it yet. Rory, people are going to love you and people are going to hate you. They're going to love you when you're winning. They're going to hate you when you don't. They're never going to love you because you're not from here. Just make your money and have fun and play. Hang with your family. And I've actually heard him say, you can't be me there, but you can be me everywhere else.
Right.
I was a horrible husband. My fault. Nothing I can do about it. It's never going to change. But all the rest of the stuff I do, that my mom and dad taught me, and I mean, it makes money, you know, and for
a persona and an image, stay in the middle.
Yeah,
don't get too far down the teeter totter. Okay,
right.
Just stay in the middle.
And you know, you're more of a country western guy than I am. Does Jason Aldean really care if he's getting canceled on a bunch of stuff?
He's not. There's more of a
surgeon.
He's
winning.
There's more of a surgeon on.
Who was the other guy? Not as good looking as Jason Aldean. He did last year. He did something bad. Started with an M.
It's Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
That was years ago.
Well, a couple of years ago.
Right.
He got canceled.
He did.
His concert sell out in like 5 minutes now.
Our youngest just went to one, and it was down in Phoenix.
How good was it?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
He said he played for hours, and beers were 21 and T-shirts were 61. Things are fine.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
But it was his... In the Morgan Wallen world, his publicist was genius. We're going to take it away, the persona to reset, but we're also going to take away so that you just have, when we bring the music back, you're really going to want the music back. And then it skyrocketed.
Yeah. Man, I saw a picture just talking to that too, just because we're, you know, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we're not in football yet. I saw a picture of Toby Keith. I mean, that illness kicked his butt, but he's getting better.
No, he's on his way back. He's actually performing again, but it was stomach cancer, dude. He was
nothing.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Yeah, he looked like Richard Pryor.
No, he didn't. He looked like Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin, is who he looked like.
No,
I looked, I'm like, why is he? I'm like, oh.
He's flying Virgin planes.
But Toby's doing good. He just bought a tackle and bait company or whatever, and it's, yeah, so.
But that we talked
Toby's
about.
Toby's a go-getter.
We've talked about that a couple of times, and that's the thing. You have to realize that if you're going to take a stand, you're going to take a hit, because this is the way the world is.
Right. I mean, we talked about this too. The fact that the chicks are coming to the Iowa State Fair. There was a major.
Yeah.
One side went left-ish, and one side went right-ish, and there was. But you didn't have a lot of crossover Toby Keith fans going to Dixie Chick concerts back in the day.
No.
It hurt the chicks for quite a while, to be honest with you.
It did. And you didn't even think about them. Now, it's, you know, because when I bring up some things sometimes that make you uncomfortable, I think that through before I do, going, you know what, you have to be able to talk about it, but you have to be able to talk about it in a sensible way.
Right.
And I think I can get away with it because at points, if I'm talking about something like that, I'm talking about it passionately. I mean, I'm not I'm not.
Well, you're at that age, too, where we just go, oh, bless his heart.
He won't remember tomorrow that he talked about it, so everything's
really
good.
Oh,
I'm okay
man.
With that. It seems like Bronny James is getting better.
Yeah, but it's confusing me. All the stories coming out.
Right. The problem is it never goes away. So now you're always going to be concerned. And here's the thing, and I mentioned this. I really believe this, and I don't remember if I've ever told you this. Lynn Bias, I think, was the best basketball player I've ever seen play basketball. And he had the same thing. Now, I think some of his had some extenuating circumstances as well.
Right.
But he just, it blew his heart up. And I think he was Michael Jordan, but he was 5 inches taller. He was 6'10", long arms. He was an amazing player. But once that happens, Hank Gathers. Do you remember Hank Gathers? Had a heart-to-heart issue, and then they thought they had it under control. Then he had another episode, and he passed away. But he came back. It's just you have – and here's the great thing. The one thing that everybody says about LeBron James that is the honest-to-God truth, there is nobody in this world that spends more money on his body, keeping his body how it is,
right. See, that's
than
what,
he does.
Right. For that being said, it's Bronny was following the same
– Yep.
Nutrient pattern, if you will, of if it was a supplement, if it was this and this, because you want to get to an elite level, you have to do elite things.
The difference is he's a 6'1" guy and LeBron's a 6'8" guy.
But still, he's not going to put something into his body that could do.
No, I totally agree with that. I think it was something that was already there that
right.
they just didn't catch.
Right. And the other thing being is there's things coming up where it's they're blaming who he was hanging out with.
No,
I haven't seen, but I there's people blowing up. Was it Wilbon? Michael Wilbon said something about his had to give his input so he gets clicks too. I mean, it just everybody wants to get controversial about this.
Yeah.
Let the family get him safe to figure out what his future is.
He's going to have the best of everything. Exactly. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I'll be back last segment. Hump day, not in a bad way. No, it is a bad way because it's hot out.
It's hot out. I got to figure out how to get home, too. I'm going to have to go around the bypass over the river and through the woods to get
come back to
the
other
south
way.
Side.
Yes. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter, at @ScottBrower_13, @HappyHour_SS, @1700TheChamp, and @SteenOnSports. Facebook @1700champ. I'll get the shows up tonight when I get home because it's nice and air conditioned, so I have nothing better to do because I am not going anywhere near Rag Bronny tonight.
Well, I lucked out because the youngest is home from playing baseball in Burlington and not going back to school yet and stuff. And he said, "Mom, was hot in here last night," so we turned the air down like even more.
Nice.
Oh,
perfect.
I think our bill's going to be $1 billion, but yeah. No, it was beautiful last night.
Budget billing.
Oh, there, well, yeah, there you go.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're going to get Minnesota Twins and the Royals. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors for Homeless Veterans Golf Outing on Monday, July 31st, Legacy Golf Club, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, so I had something I wanted to tell you. I don't remember what it was.
All right, I got it. Did you hear anything about, obviously, Big Ten Media Day? You know, it was the players from Northwestern didn't go. It was because they, you know, anyway.
I get that. If I was the players from Northwestern,
right,
I wouldn't want to go either.
Right. But to come out of Iowa. So nothing really came out, nothing new, you know, to talk about. Obviously, it was a little bit about the wagering. It's a small number involved in the gambling. I wish we would get that to come to a head. Whether it's Ames, whether it's Iowa City, I wish we would get that figured out.
I don't think anything's going to happen. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this on the radio. I don't think the NCAA has the kahunas to do anything. Because
right.
I think if they come out and they do it, these kids sue and say, that's not what happened. You guys are, it's no. And then they have to go to court. And they lose. I don't know if anything's going to happen.
The only thing that I can think of is the fact that if they red-handed caught underage gambling,
right, that's a problem.
That
that's
will
against
be,
the law.
That okay. when it becomes breaking the law, then it does get addressed.
Yep.
But far as a broad stroke of just doing this, that so anyway, didn't really say as it was a big deal. That was in Ferentz's interview. But here's the one. He doesn't give accolades, but he said the offensive line issues have improved over last year.
What a dumb thing to say. I'd say, you know, my son's career and everything depends on how good that offensive line is and how good the offense does, or he's not going to have a job next year. And that's what you come out and do and put extra pressure on there?
Okay. I just thought it was interesting because you don't usually hear bulletin board material from Kurt Ferentz. You don't. I mean, for him to say there was, number one, to admit that there was a massive problem in the offensive line. Number two, that they've improved it. Okay. Now you're going to be under the microscope.
Yeah.
I thought you said you improved it. What happened here? You know, it's there's a sack, there's a this, then there's they're gonna compare it to last year.
I was trying to figure out why he did that as well, and I couldn't come up with an answer. So I felt that same way that you did.
But he had to feel pretty good. He's not Minnesota. He's not Northwestern right now. He's we're just over here doing what we do.
and that's I guarantee you that he's digging that part because I don't know. The Minnesota thing, they have a pretty good team coming back. I mean, they're never going to be, you know, they're never going to be where they want to be. But man, I didn't understand that take. I wouldn't have put the pressure on the offensive line. I'd have kept Cade McNamara wants you to put the pressure on him.
Oh, exactly.
He wants it.
He's got something to prove.
Yeah, and you know
he wants to prove
right.
Yes.
And if I'm Kirk. I let my defensive coach and let those guys, let them talk to the press. You know, because this is what everybody sees when he goes up there. Well, that's Brian's dad. They don't say that it's Coach Ferentz. It's Brian's dad. What's he going to say?
I know. I thought it was interesting,
yes.
But it was very, very vanilla, you know, what he talked about and the way he said things. But it was for him to pick a side, take a moment to actually say something that he thinks is going to happen.
No, it's crazy stuff.
I just got this pop up on my phone.
Do
you know who's going to be out at Zubru tonight?
Who?
Steve Gordon.
I love Steve.
Our buddy from, he's actually with the Vibe tonight.
Is he?
He's all over the place. He's with Kimas, but he's our dude.
So here's an interesting thing. We got a few minutes here for Iowa State and one of the things that Matt Campbell has not corrected in the last in the 7 years that he's been here, and I think he finally hit it this year, and he actually hired a couple of people that I think are even helping him bigger. In 2017 up till 2021, the average size of Iowa State's defensive backs were 5'9", 5'10", and 180 pounds. This year, their average size is 6'1.5". And 210. That's a big difference in the Big 12 when you've got some big wide receivers. Offensive line has always been the biggest thing. And in 2017, they had 300 pounds, 290, 290, 317, 314. This year, 335, 325, 310, 320, 325. That's 30 pounds an offensive lineman.
I hope we go back to seeing them because they were mean a few years back.
Oh, they were.
And I go back to that. So one of the social media that I follow, Twitter, Facebook, stuff like that, I think this was the game day or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows a graphic, and it says the most NFL losses in the past 20 seasons. Okay, you can't look at it, but there it is. I showed you the graphic. So it's by each division, the 8 divisions that we have. Off the top of your head, in the last 20 years, who has the most losses in the NFL? And go.
Detroit Lions.
Nope.
Indianapolis Colts.
Nope.
Houston Texans.
Nope.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Nope. Cleveland Browns, 222.
Ooh.
Who has the least amount of losses? That one should be obvious. In the last 20 years, come on.
New England.
You got it. 92.
Yep.
So as you go through, you're looking at the ones that kind of surprised me. Was, well, okay. So the losses in the last 20 years, the Bears had 182, the Packers had 126.
Yeah. That's why the Packers made all those playoff runs. They had Chicago, Minnesota not playing well, and Detroit. Detroit and Chicago were horrible.
All right. If we're using the Packers as the over under number of 126, Pittsburgh Steelers higher or lower?
Lower.
122.
Yep. Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season. That's incredible.
This is just fun. We get to kind of start, getting our NFL juices going here with things.
You got to remember that before Josh Allen came, Buffalo was god awful.
Buffalo was 100. So NFC East, New England 92. This is losses in the last 20 years. Buffalo 174.
Yeah.
Miami 183. The Jets 196.
And Miami was junk for a long time too.
I mean, they had Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas in those years, and they went one win for Pete's sake.
So if we go, let's do. We're close. We got two.
No,
minutes.
No, no. I was just saying we're from the Hall of Fame game. It's a week from tomorrow.
Yes, a week from tomorrow. So if you looked at, so you have Kansas City, Las Vegas, the Chargers. Who am I missing? I'm missing the fourth one.
Raiders, Broncos, Chargers,
Broncos.
Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean those teams. There's some big time losses in those for a while too. That division was garbage.
So AFC West, who has the least amount of losses
in the last
20 years?
I'd say the Broncos.
No, Kansas City 145. Broncos are 158. Chargers 156. Raiders 211.
Wow. See that. Man,
we focus on the years of the good years of the good teams, but you forget, man.
They were bad. There were
some bad teams for some long time.
They were. Yeah. I mean, some really bad teams. And
did it surprise you that Cleveland actually had more losses in the last 20 years than Detroit?
See, I think that could be the surprise team in the NFL this year. I could see them making the playoffs.
Detroit?
No.
Cleveland?
Yeah. I really could.
I don't know about that.
I, once again, what don't I trust? The coach.
Right.
I have no idea. Kevin Stefanski's had talent on both sides of the ball, probably the most talent in the AFC with his defense and his offense, and they have won squat.
I think the team that's going to surprise a lot of people because they don't have any expectations on them is the Green Bay Packers. I think you are taking away a lot of roller coaster issues. And
he pulled a lot of games out, though. That's the problem.
I want to see LaFleur coach.
Yeah.
I want to see him. I want it to be his team and see him coach.
Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers has an extra over that time.
Same conversation we said 30 years ago. Brett Favre leading into that Rodgers guy. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but at least the Rodgers guy was coming into the league with some accolades. Jordan Love was not.
We don't know. We've never seen anything.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We get to do this one more time. We get to do it tomorrow. Ragbri going out. Not going to be any better than Ragbri coming in.